You have your Bibles, and I trust that you brought them with you this morning. Open to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. We're going to be looking at verses 15 to the end of the chapter, verse 25. We continue through this passage. I want to ask you a question this morning. How many of you ever felt like you're just losing your mind? I feel that way all the time. When it's this small, it's pretty easy to lose. When we read through this passage and we get a glimpse of what Paul is saying, you get the sense that Paul feels like he's about to lose his mind. As you read through this, you'll see Paul seems to be about, and I was going to title it this, but I was advised not to. Paul seemed to be like this close to schizophrenia. He is arguing with himself. He is warring against himself. And maybe you feel like that sometimes. Maybe you feel like that all the time in your Christian life. And so this morning, as we read through this passage, you're not alone. And so we're going to read these verses, and we'll open in prayer and dive into the text here. It says in Romans chapter 7, verse 15, "For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now, if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law, that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." Let's pray. Father, as we look at this passage again this morning, I would ask that you would again use your word communicated by your Spirit to your people to accomplish your purpose. Father, we are weak in our flesh, but we are strong in Christ. Lord, as we look at this passage, may we not be depressed but encouraged. Lord, may we turn to you for our strength, for our comfort, for our help. Would ask that you would be with this time now. May I only say that which you would have me to say, nothing less, nothing more. May we bring honor and glory to your name, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. It's a very difficult text to read, isn't it? You ever try to read that one fast? You'll get confused real quick. Can you see what's happening here? Paul is in the midst of a struggle. It's a struggle that if we are honest with ourselves, every single person who claims the name of Christ goes through on a regular basis. It's a deep-seated struggle. I'll probably say this again towards the end. While it is a struggle that every Christian goes through on a regular basis, it is a struggle that only Christians go through on a regular basis. As we approach this text, there are three common arguments As we look at this, determining, okay, what is going on here? One argument is, or discussion, is that this is dealing, right here, Paul is dealing with an unbeliever, or he is dealing, talking about himself before he was saved. He's just describing what was happening before he was saved. The next thought, this is when Paul was immature. He's looking back at when he was immature, or what we would call a carnal Christian maybe, at some point, in which he's struggling and he just hasn't gotten to that full maturity of being a follower of Christ. And then the final one is, this is a mature Paul speaking of where he is at this very moment in his life. I want us to take a look at these because I think it's important for us to understand what we are looking at here. The first one, this is an unbeliever, or Paul speaking of his pre-conversion. We can get rid of that notion by looking at the verbiage that we see throughout here. When you read through this passage, you see everywhere Paul is struggling with a desire to do what God wants him to do. He is warring against the flesh. He is warring to do what God has commanded. He delights in God's law. He says, the one who wills to do good, I want to do good, for I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. Can I tell you, folks, that is not a struggle that those who do not know Christ have. Before Christ, you hated God. You were his enemy. You wanted nothing to do with him. Well, I never hated God. If you are not his, you are against him. Friendship with the world is enmity with God. Hatred, war against God. We see earlier in the book of Romans, Paul says this, as it is written, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside, aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. That is our state before we are part of the family of God. So this is not even possible to be an unbeliever, because an unbeliever would not struggle with this. As we look at this and we say, well, then it was Paul when he was an immature Christian. He didn't grow up. He wasn't that strong apostle that we think about right now. And as he's writing what is probably one of the deepest, most difficult doctrinal books in the scriptures to get your head around, he was just talking about being a baby Christian. He wasn't fully there yet. The only problem with that is that's not true. When you look at this, you can tell through the very language that is used here within the Greek. Verses 7 through 13 are speaking in the past tense. We can see that. He's talking about how he was. But as we get to verse 14, the verb tense changes. It changes to a present tense verb. And now Paul is speaking to what he is right now and what is going on in his life right now. I don't know about you, but that's encouraging to me. Because Paul, in the middle of writing the book of Romans, says, I struggle every day. Not Paul. Really? Paul's like the giant of the Christian faith. How does he struggle? He tells us every single day he is struggling. So we want to be clear as we look at this and as we look at what we're going to read through here. We want to be clear that we are talking about not only a saved believer, but a mature believer. One who this isn't new to. One who we would look at as a pillar of the church. And so that should give us joy. We could read through this passage and get really depressed, going, man, that's discouraging. He struggled? How much more am I going to struggle? But I don't believe that's what the point of the passage is. And as we dig into this morning, hopefully I'm going to give you four truths. We're going to look at four different truths that we need to be aware of as we look at this. We're going to look at a couple other passages that hopefully when you leave here, you can be encouraged. You can go away saying, wow, Paul, you nailed it. That's exactly how I feel, but we will have victory. The first truth I want us to look at that I think is evident in this passage is the idea that don't deny the existence of sin in your life. Don't deny the existence of sin in your life. That is very easy to do, isn't it? Oh, no, I'm good. I'm fine. I don't struggle. The only person that is going to believe that is you. God knows. And if you're honest with yourself, you know. There is sin that you struggle with, that we struggle with. Earlier, when Paul talks about, I would not have known sin unless the law had shown me, right? What was the sin that he referred to? Covetousness. Why do you think he referred to that one? Because that's one of those that's on the inside that nobody can really see. So we can kind of hide our covetousness at times, right? But he says, I would not have known that. Why? Because there are sins in our lives that we struggle with. But if you deny that they are there, you will never deal with them and you will never get victory. We know that they're there. Galatians chapter 5, 16 through 18 says very clearly that there is a battle going on. Listen to what it says. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. That sounds pretty familiar, doesn't it? To what we just read in Romans. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So Romans 7:20, he says, now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. Paul is not, by the way, sitting here saying the devil made me do it. Not my fault. I couldn't control myself. Sorry. That's not what he's saying. He's living with the reality that while, yes, he has a divine nature, we still struggle with this sin on a regular basis. We still war against the flesh. If we try to act as if we do not struggle with sin, we'll never deal with it. We have to get past the idea of looking just so, sounding just so, having things run just so, putting on the veneer, making sure that everything's in place, and not admitting that we struggle. Out of every place in the world that you should be able to go to and admit that you struggle, it should be here. But this is the one place that we will not admit it. Why? Because we don't want people to think poorly of us. Oh, we'll get dressed up and we'll look nice and sharp and we'll have everything just in place and our hair will be done just right and we'll yell at each other all the way here in the car and argue the whole time and then we'll get out of the car and be angry with our family and say, hey, how you doing? I'm doing great. How you doing? You have a good week? Yeah, me too. It was awesome. Loved it. Why? Because when we admit that we struggle, we admit that we're weak. And nobody wants to be looked at as weak. We hate weakness. We devour weakness. Nope, nope, I got to be all buttoned up and we're on our way to church. And when we get there, we better have our three songs. We better have the songs better sound just, they better be just perfect. Otherwise, we can't worship right. Oh, we got to make sure everything's just straight in rows. And I mean, all of this. So we put on a Facebook life where everything looks great. Why? Because we're scared to look at the person next to us and say, I'm struggling. I'm struggling. And part of that we bring on ourselves, don't we? Because when somebody tells us we're struggling, we're like, oh yeah, we'll pray for you. And as you walk away, you go, okay, note to self, don't hang out with that person anymore. They're struggling with what? And folks, we should be able to come to each other and admit, man, I'm struggling. If you deny the existence of sin, you build a wall, you build a facade that will crumble. We've got to understand that we can acknowledge the fact that we are sinners. Paul is acknowledging the fact that he is a sinner. I find then a law that evil is present with me. He'll say in verse 24, oh, wretched man that I am, do not deny the existence of sin. However, do not accept sin as your way of life. You don't have to accept sin as your way of life. We see here, see, Paul, it would be easy sometimes, right? When you struggle, when things aren't going well, just to go, you know, I quit. I give up. No more. I'm done. Is that Paul's attitude? Absolutely not. You can tell that he's going to continue this battle. He's going to continue this struggle. And folks, if we are going to have victory in our Christian life, we will continue the struggle every day, understanding that we're not going to give in, and someday it'll be worth it. You're going to battle the thoughts. You're going to battle the attitudes. In verse 15, here's the difference. When Paul says, for what I am doing, I do not understand, he's not saying I'm confused. He's not up there going, man, what did I just do? I don't even know what that was. What's going on with my life? In this context, the connotation of this word understands mean, for what I am doing, I do not accept. I do not look at and approve of as I used to in my old life. He's saying, this isn't who I am. There is a battle. There is an affront to him now that he sees this sinful nature. Once again, that's why we can say that this is only a man of God that can have this struggle. A man or a woman of God that will have this struggle. Because in our fallen state, we're good with sin. No big deal. I'm good with it, and we'll keep doing it. But here, this struggle, he says, it will not define me. I am no longer captive to sin. I don't have to let it control me. I have another way. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 31, he says, I affirm by the boasting in you which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. This is Paul. He's saying, every day I have to die to myself. He's not going to give up. At the end of his life, what does he say? I have fought a good fight, right? Man, I battled. I went at it to the grace of Christ. So we understand that we don't want to deny the existence of sin in our life. But don't allow the existence of sin in your life or sin to dictate your life. Don't let it be a way of life for you. Our flesh is weak, and the old man is there, but don't forget this next idea. And this is an encouraging thought. Don't forget that we are a new creature. We have been born again. Think about that. The verse we sent, one of the verses that they sang in the special this morning, it says, his sacrifice our victory. Christ has already won the victory. We are created new. We have a divine nature that is no longer temporal and corrupted. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to read verses 13 all the way through the first verse of chapter 2. And in light of this struggle that we see in Romans, this idea that I keep doing what I don't want to do and I don't do what I want to do, sin dwells in me, but then he says, O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. With that in mind, with understanding that conflict, let's look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon what? Your power, your strength, your abilities? No, upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ as obedient children. Not conforming yourselves to the former lust as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here. Notice the verbiage there. I said this morning. It's like you're checked into a hotel, but you know you're going to check out at some point. You're staying here for just a little bit. And that's our time on earth. It's just a little bit. Conduct yourself throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by the traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Since you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Why? Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as a flower of grass. The grass withers, and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. Therefore, because of everything we just said, therefore lay aside all malice, all deceit, all hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. As newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. What a picture. We see this picture of Paul struggling in this fight that we have and that you have and that I have on a regular basis, and we can look at this and realize, you know what, we have a divine nature that can't be tainted by this world. That is eternal. We have been declared righteous through Christ. And that cannot be taken away. If you have turned from your sin and you have trusted in Christ, you've forsaken that and you have committed to be a follower of Christ, you are incorruptible. You are made new. It's all brand new. I love how one guy said it. When we were saved, God didn't just give us a tune-up. It was a complete overhaul. We needed a new engine. It was all brand new. And when God creates something new, it's good. And it's holy and it's perfect. And I am looking forward to the day where that struggle is over. And all we have to deal with is the perfect. And as we look in 1 Peter and we see this, we understand that we are not destined to fail, but to succeed through Christ Jesus. The scripture speaks constantly to the idea that we are no longer bound by the slave master of sin, but we are free to be slaves of Christ, and we are in Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Most of you probably have this memorized, but turn there if you'd like. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. He's new. So what happens? Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And we have victory in that. That's not depressing to look at that struggle. We are in the struggle of sanctification. It is a battle we are engulfed in on a regular basis, and it's the battle of sanctification. And so as we look at that, James 1:8 says, of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. You have been both declared and made righteous through Christ. So don't forget you are a new creature. When you're in the midst of these struggles, when you're in the midst of the difficulties and you're dealing with them, don't forget, wait, I am a new creature. I am a new creature in Christ. I can have victory through what Christ has done for me on the cross. And the fact that he has imparted his blood on me, that I am his righteousness. And that brings us to the final point here. Don't forget your future glory. Yes, we have a present time in which we deal with sin. And it will be a struggle. We don't have to make it our way of life. We are a new creature. And God is working, and we will go to this verse soon, an eternal weight of glory. Turn to 2 Corinthians. If you kept your finger there, if you're still there, just flip back to chapter 4. I want to read verses 16 through 18. 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18 says, therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing. You ever feel that way? I do. Yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. I asked this morning, everybody raised their hand, so we'll see if you're on the same page. How many of you feel like you need more than day by day? You need minute by minute renewal. It can be tough. Don't lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, listen to this, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary. They're just here for a moment. But the things which are not seen are eternal. Man, that should bring you hope. That should encourage you in the struggle that you're going through. Be energized by the fact that we have been made victorious through Christ. And that every struggle, every pain, we heard this morning of those that are struggling physically with sickness. And at some point, we will all struggle with sickness if Christ doesn't come back. We will all struggle with the breaking down of our bodies. We'll struggle with sin. And we can feel sorry for ourselves, or we can look and say, don't lose heart. When it gets hard to raise your children, it gets difficult because you're pulling your hair out. You don't know what to do anymore. What do? Well, I go to the store and buy a self-help book on how to raise children. There's plenty of them out there. Look to the things that aren't seen. Look to Christ. Get on your knees. Hey, you don't think your children know you struggle? They live in your house. They know. What do you look to? When things are tough financially, when they're tough physically, when you feel like throwing in the towel, it's not worth it anymore. Don't lose heart. Paul didn't, did he? I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. There's a crown waiting. Folks, there, when we get there, we'll look back and we'll say, wow, it was all worth it. It was all worth it. Because it will be God who did it in us, and we did not do it in our own power. You cannot do what God wants you to do in your own strength. It is only through Christ. Why do you think Paul says, oh, wretched man that I am, who will save me from this body? And he follows it up immediately with, I thank God through Jesus Christ. We are redeemed through Christ incorruptible. And let that be an encouragement to you. As you go throughout this week, when those struggles come in, and they will. Now, if you're sitting here today, and you say, I don't struggle. There's two truths. There's only two truths about that. If you're not struggling on a regular basis with the things of the flesh and the things of God, there's two ideas. One, you're either lying to yourself. Or two, you're not a child of God. Because a child of God will struggle. But they will not be overcome. If you're here and you've never placed your faith and trust in Christ, I'd encourage you this morning, get together with one of us. We'd love to take you through God's word. But for those of you who are here that are just like Paul, be encouraged. John Newton wrote, I am not what I ought to be. I am not what I want to be. I am not what I hope to be in another world. But still, I am not what I once used to be. Why? By the grace of God, I am what I am. Sounds like a pretty good summary of what Paul's saying, right? It's not where I want to be, but one day we'll be there. One day we'll stand before the throne and we won't have to worry about this. We know the song, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. In our hymn books, I was looking at it this week, there's only three verses. I found a fourth verse not too long ago when listening to it. My wife had downloaded the song, and I was listening to it, and there was a fourth verse that I had never heard before. It's not in our hymnals. It should be. Because I feel like it's the best verse in there. Let me read it to you. I am not Pastor Greg, so I shall not sing it for you. And everybody said, Amen. So let me read it to you. This deals perfectly with what we are talking about. Oh, that day when freed from sinning, I shall see thy lovely face, full arrayed in blood-washed linen. How I'll sing thy sovereign grace. Come, my Lord, no longer tarry. Bring thy promises to pass, for I know thy power will keep me till I'm home with thee at last.